Thank you, Mary.
What stage are you at with your project?
I think we're at the similar stage that you are at. We've answered, I believe, almost all of the substantive questions. We have not yet gotten to effective date. The thought is that the team is drafting it now, and we would put out an external review before concluding on what the effective date. That's predominantly a change as a result of what happened on revenue recognition, is we wanted to set the effective date closer to when we had a definitive time period of when it would be issued, so there would not be such a large push to consider changes effective dates after issue.
Okay, thanks. That was a question without notice.
And by the way, for exactly the same reason, that's the last decision or sort of remaining decision on the ISB side as well, that we still have to decide on the effective date, plus of course any sweep issues that might arise during the drafting process. So given that, and given where we are, as I say, interested in your views on effects analysis. So in paragraph 10 of this paper, we sort of set out at a high level just some of our initial thoughts and the sort of topic areas that might be included in, you know, the effects analysis. And basically we have two questions for you today. One is, first of all, on the content. So what are the kind of possible and relevant effects that you think we should assess and include in our effects analysis? And secondly, just around communications, do you have any other sort of advice for us in terms of just generally communicating, particularly in that period, you know, in the next sort of 6 months or whatever, 6 to 9 months in the period leading up to when the final standard would be published? So with that, I'll hand over to you.
Okay. Any comments?
Yukia. Well, let's just first appreciate the long-term significant effort that have been made by the ISB and the FASB with the aim of improving the accounting standard of risk. Having said with that, considering the nature of the leasing transaction as well as the ways they are commonly managed, we have hoped to see the converged standard between the two boards. And that's why we have advocated the importance of the converged solution at the ASAF meeting. When we reached out to our constituent in Japan, just before this ASAF meeting, some have expressed a disappointment in this respect, which we share. And they suggested that the ISB provide sufficient analysis to assess the effect caused by the diverged outcome between the two boards.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
I think in general our constituents agree with the proposed contents on the effects analysis. One comment is maybe the board could consider to communicate further about, you know, the under the new sort of standard, what is a lease and what is not a lease. And also the possible effects on such as the buy and or lease decision and the changing of the contractual term of lease, what would that effect be under the new standard?
Depends a bit on what you think makes up the decision at the moment of buying and lease, I guess. Because if they're commercially viable, there shouldn't be much change. But if they're being done to keep a liability off the balance sheet, there might be a big change.
First of all, we appreciate that ISB to the effective effect analysis on the lease project. We have two more comments on the effects analysis. One is that whether it's possible for the ISP to do the work to see the possible impact on the lease market as well as lease behavior, both from lessee side or and the lesser side, such as the impact on the choice of short-term lease or long-term lease, such as the choice impact the choice of lease and the purchase behavior. This is the first point. Second point, we think that maybe it's worthwhile to do the comparative effect analysis under the ISB model as well as an US GAAP model. So whether it's possible for us to choose several companies who may be listed in US market or as well other market, or whether or they have to prepare financial statements both on the IFRS as well as US GAAP. So can we try to do this kind of test or effect analysis, whether you know different accounting standards will you know produce very different financial results, and what kind of results will be, and what kind of impact for those companies' financial position, as especially for the financial performance, and let the people know that the real effect of the on the different model.
Can I just ask a clarifying question? Are you saying that you want us to show, I only refer that there's a project update that we published recently, you may not have had a chance to look at it, but that sort of showed the effect, say, on the same company between sort of, you know, of that company if it used the ISB model versus the FASB model. Is that kind of what you mean, or do you mean you also think we should be covering the effects, trying to work out maybe how many companies have both IFRS and US GAAP reporting requirements and to assess the effects on those companies?
First one.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Thank you.
Kim.
Thanks, Ian. I'm not quite sure perhaps what you have in mind in terms of the financial effects. I mean, are you envisaging providing an illustrative example of a scenario under and showing what the effect would be under, you know, the new requirements and the existing requirements, and then showing the change in the shape of the income statement? Is that what you envisage?
I suppose what we envisage, I mean, maybe a couple of different things I have on my mind and then interested in your thoughts is, I suppose there's different levels. One is, I think, again, I'll refer to that document where we pick up maybe at an individual entity level, compare what do you see today, balance sheet, income statement, cash flow statement, also disclosure, I think, ultimately, and the final standard disclosure might be useful, and compare that to what you would see under the new standard. And I think also then we could, and at that detailed level, I'd probably think about it at an individual entity level, like we did at this document. But then I think also we could potentially include some sort of quantitative information for the, you know, that shows maybe the particular industry sectors that might be most affected. And for example, via access we have to sort of a data aggregator, we can do, say, for example, by picking up, say, the estimated change in the liabilities or something, we could say, well, these are the industry sectors that are potentially most affected. These are the regions that might be most affected. And we could also, maybe on the cost side as well, think about comparing, you know, the data that you need today to prepare information under IAS 17, including disclosures, versus what's the data you need, you know, to apply the new requirements.
Mm-hmm. The other thing that I had in mind was whether or not it may be worthwhile including a comment that, I mean, by putting the liability on the balance sheet means that analysts don't make, I suppose, using the word, arbitrary adjustments. I mean, I think, I don't know, if Moody's, do they just multiply your expense by 8 or whatever they do? You know, it might be worthwhile making those comments to say, well, seeing as though you actually are reflecting the liability in terms of overall assessment of that entity.
We'll try and find some positives. Andrew, that prompts me to say, and one of the positives that's often overlooked of the lease standard, it seems to me, is that people tend to focus on the liability, but actually having an asset on the balance sheet, which you are presumptively testing for impairment, might be in one case out of 50 quite an important advantage. I just really wanted to say there that we've been following the leasing standard particularly closely over the last year or so, and I wanted to say that I think that the way the ISB has responded and dealt with the final few issues has been absolutely admirable. We haven't had total agreement. I'm not saying that we would 100 enthusiastically support each board decision, but we understand that's part of the game, and I think the process has really been admirable. As I say, in particular, I think the updates you've provided recently on the definition of a lease, and the more recent one, the title of which has just escaped me, I think that those are extremely useful. So I'm not quite sure why you're asking my advice as to how to communicate, because I think you're doing fairly well. On the effects studies, I think you've got a very good list in paragraph 10. It just occurs to me that one of the things that one should be mindful of is that people often object to change, and of course change in itself is costly and thus is a drawback. Having said that, just because it will disadvantage some people doesn't necessarily mean that that's a total negative. There will often be others, for example those who finance leases in other ways, who might benefit, and I'm sure it's not really very practical to capture that, but nonetheless, unless one thought that there was an industry out there which has got a huge fixed capital investment which is going to become irrecoverable, it's hard to see a total downside. And finally, I just hope that communication and effect studies do not detract from the task of making the final draft as easy and as limpid and as simple to apply with the principle shining through as clearly as possible. It's a good point, isn't it? Where we put our effort in the next next few months. We've obviously got an obligation to do an effect study, but perhaps having an ongoing standard that's well drafted and well articulated is quite important as well.
Yeah.
Rebecca.
Thank you. And Petrina, actually, in your description of both how you're going to, what you're considering of looking at it from an entity, industry, and a macro perspective, I think covered quite a few of the comments we'd identified. The one area that my staff pointed out was in the exposure draft. It was BC paragraph 406, where it did do a comparison of the information compared to the current standard to the new standard to really identify what the additional effort might be helpful in order to kind of focus preparers' perspectives on really what the new change is. So.
Yeah.
Clement.
Yeah. And another suggestion would be possibly could include in the effect analysis on the assessment of how the new standard helped the users in assessing the future cash flow.
Just picking up on Andrew's point, I think one of the key things would be highlighting the stewardship aspects, that actually bringing all of these leases into one framework and perhaps one register is actually going to enable people to actually manage them more effectively. It's a bit like what happened when defined benefits came on balance sheet.
Okay, those are all very useful suggestions. Thank you. Other comments?
Well, the EFA board took a particular interest in the proposal that was made, because the effect analysis is clearly one of their main tasks, and they were pretty happy with the proposals that was brought forward. They have identified an interest that has already been mentioned in understanding the effects of having two divergent models that has been in fact indicated by many of us, and so EFRAC is part of that showing interest. Also, and we're moving there eventually more in the effects on behaviors and as a result, and the result of those, maybe following up on what Ankyo said about the possible effect on lease purchase decisions. We've heard, and you've heard as well, people claiming that such a standard could have adverse effects on the leasing industry. So if something was done in order to respond to that, that would be helpful. And in the same vein, some people have also said that the standard could adversely affect SMEs in their access to finance. It's a bit linked to also the purchase and lease behaviors, but if something could be done in that area, that would be helpful. Because as part of the responsibilities of EFRAC, there is an interest in developing those effect analysis, we would like to cooperate. So as not to replicate an effort that you're making in order to eventually help you, and see what remains that we have to do in order to satisfy our duties.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah.
And Russ, on the the two models, we could probably work together to just set out what the different effects are of each of the models.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it should be in both of the, somewhere in the standards where we talk about the differences, so that whether you pick up IFRS or you pick up our document, you can understand what the differences, the technical differences. Although I still think that when you look at a company that has a wide population of leases, I don't think over time I think there's very little difference. That's what our model, that's what the research.
But I mean, even just working together to work that might be a very useful thing to do.
Yeah.
Francois.
Another point, I mean, about communication to the public, I would concur with what Andrew said about the quality of the document that you've recently issued on the definition of a lease, and also comparing the effects in reporting of the two models. On the definition of a lease, the document is, and that's good, attracted a lot of interest, at the same time has triggered a lot of questions, so that eventually it also picks up on what Clement said. It could be helpful in advance of the standards being published to have people understand what the scope of the standard really is, whether their contracts arrangements are really scoped in, and if that could be done, while you're developing your drafting, and that could be helpful because it would be better to help people understand and also have that feedback to yourselves when you finalize the standard, rather than have a series of requests once it is published and people discover the wording.
Mm.
And have a difficulty understanding whether they're in or out. So if I don't dare say field test or whatever, but something on that particular aspect would be really helpful.
Yeah. I mean, just to let you know, around the definition, it is the area that actually us together with our FASB staff colleagues has identified as, the area we need to spend most time now in terms of, really articulating the decisions as best we can. So we are working on that's kind of our first focus on drafting, and we do, intend to get quite a lot of input into that, hopefully, in the process leading up to the final standard.
But we can take your point. It's an important area. We should be very careful and do the best we can to see that people fully understand what we mean.
There again, if we can help, we're happy to do so.
Yeah. Good. Any further comments? Stephen.
I was interested in G and the cost of borrowing, and I recall, Russ, wasn't there that consulting report that came out in the US a long while ago now, saying that putting leases on the balance sheet would destroy so many jobs and all the rest of it, and it was essentially predicated on saying that the cost of borrowing would rise. I thought that was badly flawed, that document, and I just wondered whether you'd done any specific work on it.
We've done a lot of work, and it's my understanding that there, I don't know the exact timing, but there will be some academic research looking at the quality of the particular study you're talking about. I don't know, I'd have to follow up with others that have been more heavily involved in understanding the scope and the timing of that to know when that'll be out there. We've also had lengthy discussions with companies to understand, would they change the lease term as a result of putting it on the balance sheet? Because embedded in the study you're talking about was an assertion that if you put it on the balance sheet, you would decrease your lease term. Decreasing the lease term would increase the cost of borrowing of the lessor. And so as we went out and talked to companies, we asked them, would it change the way they negotiate leases? And most retailers said that it would not, and most companies that focus on as lessees of office space said it would not. And that has to do with the substantial upfront cost of moving in the office space, having to incur leasehold improvements, just the morale of moving staff. With the big box retailers, space is important, and we literally learned that if you have to make a left turn, you pay a discount than if most people make a right turn, because left turns are harder for people to make right turns, which is logical, but I never thought about that in the economics of leasing. So we've done a lot, and we've shared that with Patrina and her team, and that'll be in our discussion we talk about in the basis and anything else we put out.
You say you can't say when your analysis will be out, but it'll be this year, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, we may not have ended up with a totally converged standard, but it's still obvious that we need to work together on it. Mm. Okay, no more. Staff or board, nothing to add. Thank you very much. The interesting part will be when you start drafting it and we see what you actually say.
Yes.
Some of it's not going to be very easy.
I'm hoping actually the decisions made actually by both boards will make the drafting of the final standard actually a lot easier than the last AD was, and actually large parts of all the measurement hasn't changed. So I do anticipate that it will be, most of the sections will be easier to draft. But as I say, particular focus around where there's any judgment and change, and particularly around the definition.
But the effects analysis won't be all that simple. Okay, thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you.
So the next question is, what do we do next? We're half an hour early.
Well, I've sent a note, and it looks like we should be able to start in about 5 minutes.
Okay.
5 minute break.
So you can talk amongst yourselves for 5 minutes.